Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. It's just such a privilege to be up here, such an honor to be up here. And I just want to just honor Pastor Marquise. I've known him since he was nine, or I was nine at one. But I thank the Lord for him. I told him 3 years ago, telling him no when it comes to these conferences is like telling the Lord no, so I will never tell him no when he asks me to do something. And I'm thankful for Precious as well, his wife Precious, and for Annis and Mr. Franklin, the pastors of this house and all the pastors in this house. And also I'm so thankful for my husband. He's my best friend. It's not hard to love him. It's not hard to like him. And I just thank the Lord for him. And I also thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because without him, I'd be nothing. So, and I owe him, and I give him my everything. But before we get started, I'm just going to open up in prayer just a little bit. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for every single thing, Lord God, that you're in control of every single detail of our lives, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're going to have your way tonight. And I just pray, Father God, that me and myself, that you'll put me aside, Father God, right now. And that you'll use me mightily, Father God. That everything that comes out of my mouth, that it's what you want to come out of my mouth, Lord God. And I just pray, Father God, that your people hear and not only be hearers of your word, Father God, but doers, Lord God. And I just thank you so much for being awesome. Thank you, Lord God, that we are special and precious in your sight, Lord God. We give you all the praise, Lord God, all the honor, Lord God, and all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sister Nicole, that hey, with the Lord, not business. But no, I didn't. He flipped it on me while we were worshiping, and he told me to tell to let you guys know a little bit of my testimony. And he always tells me when I say, Lord, why do you always have me tell my business? He's like, it's not your business, it's my business. So I'm gonna be obedient and start where he told me to start. And while we were worshiping, we were listening to The Name of the Lord is a Strong Tower. And a lot of the times I pray this prayer. It's in Proverbs 18:10. And it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe. And that song, that worship song, it took me back to 3 years ago. It took me back to where I felt like the enemy or the Lord allowed the enemy to come in and to strip my dream right out of my hands, to literally strip it right. I had it, and then it was gone. And at that time, I was mad. I was hurt. And I wanted to leave the Lord. I contemplating on leaving the Lord, but I was like, Lord, where would I go? What kind of lifestyle after tasting and seeing that you're so good and you're so awesome and you're so powerful, what kind of lifestyle would I go back to? I have nothing to go back to. And that song, I played that song, and I didn't want to worship the Lord at that time, but I did it anyway. Because it's not my will, but his will. And I, even though I was mad at God and mad at the situation, there was still a yearning for me to be in his presence. So I surrendered despite the hurt that I felt and the pain that I felt, because I felt like he allowed it to happen. I still worship him. I didn't say anything, but I just listened to the song and I just cried. And it was like my spirit was crying out to him. So that's a bit of my testimony, but I'm here today to say that thought came, But I didn't go anywhere because where would we go? After tasting how good the Lord is, where would we go? Why would we want to leave his presence? And that's what I'm going to get into right now. It's not the title of my message, but the Lord, he was just ministering to me when I was writing actually the closing of my message. He just started ministering to me on lifestyle. Like, when it gets hard, what kind of lifestyle are you going to run to? Are you going to stick with Jesus who gave us abundant life? Or are you going to run back to the world or back to your old ways where it's comfortable? And I would say stick with Jesus. And I'm just going to give the definition of lifestyle. The definition of lifestyle is the habits, attitudes, tastes, moral standards, economic level that constitute the mode of living of a group or individual. And so as we look in this world today, we can see that people are about their cars, about their women, about their money, about themselves, just about everything but the Lord. And so we, as Christians, we have to separate ourselves because it's so easy to get entangled, to mesh with that lifestyle of how the world is. And basically God revealed to me that Surrender means to trade our lifestyle for the lifestyle of Christ. Because when we trade our lifestyle for the lifestyle of Christ, we die to our flesh and live for Jesus. Because we were paid with a price. Our life is not our own, so we're dying to ourselves, our selfish ways. And when we trade our lifestyle for Christ's lifestyle, it'll cost us something. And sometimes it'll cost us our very life. Like our own physical life or even our spirit and our spiritual life, but our physical life as well. Because it makes us get rid of our own selfish desires. As it says in Philippians 2:3-4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value yourselves above others, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And that's the life of Christ. That's who we're supposed to represent. And that was just the opening, but the title of my message when it comes to surrender, the title of my message is the cross. And the Lord gave me an acronym of the cross. He said it's continually remembering our Savior's sacrifice. Continually remembering our Savior's sacrifice. So when we say that we are Christians, we are actually saying that we are Christ-like or Christ imitators. So if we are Christ imitators, we must carry our cross daily, just as Jesus did, and present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. That's Romans 12:1. So if the cross represents continually remembering our Savior's sacrifice, we must do three things. We must serve as he served, lived as he lived, and be obedient as he was obedient. Amen. All these things cause us to die to ourselves, to die to our own fleshly desires. And it also shows our Father in heaven, that we're honoring him. And how many of you guys know that honoring your mother and your father is the first commandment with a promise. And the Lord revealed to me that for our earthly parents, that goes for him. We're supposed to honor our father. And it says that it may go so that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life and enjoy it on the earth. Not just live life, but he says enjoy the life on the earth. So that's abundant life in Jesus. Amen. So we're going to talk about how Jesus served. Jesus ran around doing good everywhere he went. He never wavered in his serving. He served unselfishly. He put others' interests before his own. I'm sure Jesus, when God told him to come down, that he was more than comfortable in heaven on his throne doing whatever he was doing. He was more than comfortable up there. When God the Father asked him to step down from his glorious splendor to come on earth to serve the vilest of sinners, which was us. Yet with no hesitation, No hezzy, as my stepson Corey says, no hezzy, because he plays basketball and he says he hezzied on him. So Jesus didn't hezzy. So with no hesitation, Jesus went willingly for his prize, his bride, for us. Hallelujah. And like Jesus, God, he wants us to step out of our comfortable place. He wants us to step out of things that are keeping us from him, those fears, those old ways of thinking. He wants us to step out of those things and serve unselfishly. He wants to get the glory out of our lives. He wants to get the glory out of our serving. He wants to get the glory out of our yeses. He doesn't want us to say no to him. Because remember, if we're imitators of Christ, if we're continually remembering our Savior's sacrifice, we must do as the Lord said, because Jesus was all about his Father's business, and we must be all about our Father's business as well. So serving the way that God wants us to serve is not going to be glorious all the time. Matter of fact, sometimes we'll have to crawl up some thorns to get to the rose. But we must serve anyway. Galatians 6:9 tells us not to become weary in well-doing. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up or if we faint not. Verse 10 goes on to say, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, not some people. Not your favorite people, because we're not supposed to have favorite, but all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And sometimes it's so easy to talk about your brothers and sisters in Christ when they're going through instead of praying for them, to tear them down when you're supposed to be building them up. Even when you see them, you're like, why are they going through the same thing over and over again? But remember, there was a time when you were going through the same thing over and over again. I think we forget to take the plank out of our own eye, and we just because we can see what they were going through, and we don't look back and remember what the Lord brought us through, and we don't remember that, we can use that as a witness and as our testimony to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we tend to tear them down. But we have to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ and love on them, because that's the most important. That's God's people. Even husbands and wives, before that's your husband and your wife, that's your brother and your sister or your sister. So just love on your brothers and sisters in Christ. So Jesus never gave up when he went all the way. He never complained. So when serving, our attitude should be that of Christ, as it says in Philippians 2:5-8. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. It's just amazing how selfless he was, he is, because he's the one who should have been being served, but he came down to serve us in our mess. I remember when I was backslidden and the Lord, he said, he still called me special. He still talked to me. I'm like, God, why are you calling me special when I'm in my mess? How could that be? But I thank him, because he is so awesome and he is so faithful and he is so mighty. And if I was the only one, or if you were the only one on this earth, he would have did it for you without complaining. Hallelujah, God. How awesome is that? Hallelujah, God. And because of him, we live. And we don't just live any old ordinary life. We live a great life. We live an awesome life. And that's number two. How did Jesus live? Jesus lived a holy life. In 1 Peter 1:15-16, it says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So when you live a holy life, you will be about your Father's business just as Jesus was. Because living a holy life brings boldness. In Proverbs 28:1, this is one of my favorite scriptures, it says, the wicked man flees though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. See, the wicked man is a sinful man. He's a coward because those sins, that lifestyle that he is living, brings shame, fear, and guilt. And in actuality, he's running away from himself. Though no one pursues because of the shame and the guilt and all of that, that's why he's running and he's a coward. But living a righteous life is righteous living or holy living. And every time I think about this scripture, I rarely think about a lion, the animal. I always thinking about the Lion of Judah that reigns on the inside of me, that reigns on the inside of my people, on the inside of his people. And that's the reason why we are righteous. He's the reason why we can be bold, because he is the Lion of Judah that is living on the inside of us. So hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
So because he lives on the inside of us, we are no longer fearful slaves like the wicked man. But we can stand firm through anything because Christ is on the inside. This holy boldness will cause us to serve better. It'll cause us to love better. It'll cause us to be more obedient, which is the last way that Jesus lived his life. So how was Jesus obedient? Jesus was committed to his Father. Everything, not some things, but everything his Father told him to do, he did. Like I said before, he was about his Father's business. Being committed does not mean that you feel like doing what you said you were going to do. I know Jesus didn't feel like getting mocked, ridiculed, spit on, tortured, sentenced to death at 33, the prime of his life. Matter of fact, he prayed in the garden and asked God 3 times to take the cup from him, but he was committed to the will of his Father, and he was committed to us. Being committed means that you do what you are supposed to do even when you don't want to do it. So if we are not committed to or standing for something, we will fall for anything or will settle for anything. So I want to talk about the Lord. He's been using me at work a lot lately. I actually pray with kind of a few people off and on, but a couple main girls that I pray with at work in my office. And the two girls that I'm getting ready to talk about, I love them dearly. They need to surrender their lives to the Lord, but I'm thankful that I'm in their life to just pour into them. And we got on the subject of marriage. We got on the subject of sex. We got on the subject of that. And the girls were telling me that they didn't want to get married. And I told them that it's the lack of being committed. This generation feels like they're entitled to something. They don't want to commit to anything. And when I said that, one of the girls was said, yep, that's about right. That's how we are. So the girls, they're funny. I love them to death because they say it how it is. They're young, they're 21 and 26. So I remember when I was that age. But I was just able to minister to them on how important it is to be married, how important it is just to be committed. Because they're going to settle, and they're settling right now because they're not committed to anything. They're not committed to the Lord. They're, even though I minister to them, and I know they know about the Lord, but they're not living for the Lord. And there's one thing to know, to know, but there's another thing to live. And so that's why I pray that they will be, because they're basically taking shortcuts to try to get what they want. You don't want to be married, but you're living the full lifestyle of being married. You're having everything that would say that you're married, but you don't have that commitment. You don't have that foundation. So that's a big thing. And basically, they're living a stick-necked lifestyle like the Israelites. And this is what it says in Jeremiah 27, because the Lord about this time, Jeremiah 7, 21 through 23, the Lord at this time was fed up with the people of Judah. So he says, This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go ahead, add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices, and eat the meat yourselves. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience in all I command you, that it may go well with you. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit about my dream. It's just how the enemy stripped me of my dream, how the Lord kind of restored that. Because it's amazing how the dreams that the Lord gives you are not your dreams, because you didn't place those on the inside of you. He placed those on the inside of you. But it's amazing when he takes you through something, when he takes you through a process of healing, when he takes you through a process of not making your dream an idol before him, but making him the priority over your dream. It's amazing what other dreams that he begins to place on the inside of you. And I'm just looking and I'm thinking, out of all the things that I want now, even of the one that I felt was stripped from me, the most important thing to me is to be obedient at all times. That is the number one desire of my heart. And that's that should be the number one desire of his people's heart. Because he said obedience is greater than sacrifice. And he loves when his children are obedient, because when we begin to be obedient, he ministered to me about this. He said, because he always has me pray for when I'm out and about, always having me pray for someone. But he says, the more and more you do that, the more and more I'll be able to work my miracles through you, because he wants to see if we're going to be faithful in those small things so that he can use us to do the big things. So I'm thankful that the Lord put that dream on the inside of me before any other dream. All I want to do is do the will of my Father. All I want to do is do the will of my Father. And I pray that for the Lord's people, that all we want to do is do the will of our Father and be about our Father's business at all times, not to be shrunk back by fear, because fear is false evidence appearing real. But Jesus is the truth. And that's what we want to rep: Jesus all day, every day, and be about our Father's business. Hallelujah, God. That's my desire. And that's what I pray for the Lord's people. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. So to sum this all up, serving like Jesus will cause us to live like Jesus, which in turn will cause us to be obedient like Jesus. Living for Christ will cost us something. For some, it may cost their job, some relationships, and even their very life. But if we ever have to choose a job, relationship, or our life, we must choose Jesus. Deuteronomy 30:19-20 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.